We're going to continue where we left off yesterday in our previous year. We discussed the clothes in which the dead people will come back when Mashiach comes. That while in general it's understood that they're going to come back with their tachrichim, the shrouds in which they were buried. However, for tzaddikim, for example, they're going to come back in their clothes that they wore in their lifetime. But we're going to witness something fascinating. We, whoever is listening to the shiur, is going to be actually seeing Tchias HaMeisim in action. And therefore, you're going to witness a fascinating sight. In order to appreciate what you're going to witness. So I want to share with you a Gemara in Nida Daf Samach Aleph Amud Beis. The Gemara is discussing a Beged She'ovad Bakilayim. You have a garment that became kelayim. And we know a beged that has kelayim, you're not allowed to use. So the Gemara says, Loyim kerenu loyvet kichavim. Don't sell it to the goy. Why shouldn't you sell it to a goy? Because a goy doesn't know anything about kelayim. He's going to buy a coat. And then he wants to sell it tomorrow. He's going to sell it to a yid. The yid's not going to know to ask if there was kelayim in it or not. Shatness. And therefore, so don't give a shatness to a goy. So what could you do with it? What are you going to do with this beged that has kalayim? You could use it to make shrouds for a dead person. This is what the Gemara says. Amar Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef heard this din in the Beis Medrash. And he said, if that's the case, this obviously means that there are not going to be mitzvahs when Mashiach comes. How does he know that? So, what's the proof? The proof is, like Tosfos points out, the fact that the Gemara says, even though we believe that at any moment is Tchias HaMeisim. So the person's going to have Tchias HaMeisim, and they're going to get up and they're going to be in a beged of kilayim. Now if it's true that dead people are going to be mechuyev in mitzvahs, so then you're putting him in a situation where he's wearing a beged of kilayim. So seemingly, says the Gemara, this is a proof the mitzvahs betelus lost it lovely. And then he brings down a pasuk. The pasuk says, "Bameisim chavshi." It's a pasuk in Tilim. Kivan shemeis adam nasa chavshi min mitzvahs. When a person dies, he becomes free of mitzvahs. So most people learn this Gemara on a very literal level, and they say from here it's clear, at least according to the Yosef. There's an argument there, but at least according to the Yosef, that there's not going to be mitzvahs when Mashiach comes. Mitzvahs betelos la'asr lovli. However, the Rebbe spoke about this at great length. As a matter of fact, there is an entire kuntres that the Rebbe gave out, and this was Tishrei Tovshinun Beis, which the entire kuntres is all about this idea of mitzvahs betelos la'asr lovli, which then it was the Siyum HaRambam was in Tishrei Nun Beis. And the Rebbe spoke like a hadron in connection with the Siyum HaRambam. And the Rebbe says that it can't possibly be that there are not going to be mitzvahs. Because mitzvahs of the Eibishter are nitzchi, are everlasting. And if they are everlasting, so what? When Mashiach comes, Mashiach is shleimus ha-toyd of ha-mitzvahs. It's a time when there's going to be the fulfillment and completion of Torah mitzvahs, and now you're telling me that mitzvahs betelos, that we're not going to have any mitzvahs. And in short, the Rebbe explains that in mitzvahs there are two parts. There are the things that we do, and there's the fact that we are told to do it. If I have to tell you to do something, it's already a problem, because you should be so in tune with what you need to do, you don't have to be told. If everything you have to be told what to do, we have a problem. In the time of Golos, we have a Yetzer Hara. We have a Nefesh HaBahamas. So that stops us from getting in tune what the Eibishter wants. So we always have to remind, be told, yes, I told you yesterday and I'll tell you again today. Like these constant reminders. When Mashiach comes, where there's not going to be these hindrances and distractions to our Avodas Hashem. So therefore, the mitzvah part of it, the fact that we are going to have to be commanded to do something, is going to be batal. For example, we know that when Mashiach comes, we're not going to need shoitrim, police. It says, Vashiva shoftenu kevori shoyna v'yatzenu kevatchila. Only shoftim and yoyatzim. What happened to the shoitrim? We're going to be able to defund the police. We don't need any police in the times of Mashiach. Hayois that we don't need any enforcement. Once the shoftim say what to do, so then we are going to do it. So what are the police going to do? They're going to be there to help us to, you know, direct traffic, 770, where to go, Beis HaMikdash, you know, people to just help us serve the Eibishter, not to enforce anything, because we're just going to do what the Eibishter wants. So there's not going to be any tzivoy, any commandment, but there is going to be the things that we are doing. So if that's pshat, so then how is it that you are allowed to bury someone in Kilayim? Because if the person will want to fulfill the Eibishter's will, so then why are you allowed to bury that person in Kilayim? So the Rebbe explains that mutter, this is an ois hay of this sicha, mutter lekoivrei b'kilayim, you could bury him in Kilayim, kishayamid lo sed lo v'ilei av tzivoy de iser Kilayim. He's not going to have the commandment of iser Kilayim. No yid will stay wearing Kilayim because he's going to want to fulfill the will of the Eibishter, but he's not going to be doing an Aveira by having the Kilayim. Now what's fascinating is the next thing I'm going to tell you. There is a bracket. The question is, at what point will this dead person change his clothes? Some people, it takes a long time. When will these people actually become ois kilayim? So in a bracket inside the sicha, the Rebbe says, la'acher rega tchiyah. They're going to get up and right away go to change their clothes to clothes which do not have shatnas. However, in Ha'ara 45 of this sicha, the Rebbe shares with us something that we're probably going to see with our eyes. It's amazing. And I want to share this with you. Umestaver loymer, says the Rebbe, it makes sense to say shegam berega tchilo yilovush b'kilayim, that even at the very second that tchias amesim happens, they're not going to be in kilayim. Now, how are they not going to be in kilayim? They were buried in kilayim. They're going to wake up in kilayim. How are they not going to have kilayim? Says the Rebbe, b'derech memela, it's going to be automatic. Then the Rebbe adds in a bracket, ba'oifenisi, there's going to be a miraculous separation of kilayim, or miraculous disappearance of the kilayim, mitzad ritzoy nishal kodesh baruch hu shebe'iser kilayim, because the Eibishter doesn't want kilayim, so you walk into the room, it just the kilayim will just disappear. The presence of the Eibishter will be felt right away. That you'll get up, a person will get up, tchias amesim, boom, kilayim will just want to separate, won't want to be there. Ba'ifei nisi. So we're going to be watching these dead people, even possibly getting up with kilayim, and instantaneously just being, not being in kilayim anymore. So that's one interesting thing. Another interesting thing is regarding the eating and drinking in the time of tchias amesim. We have a gemara, seemingly two contradictory gemaras. One gemara says, Olam haba ein boy achilo shtia, that in the time of tchias amesim, there's not going to be eating and drinking. That's what the gemara says. On the other hand, we are promised a big suda of sharabar, levyosin, yayin hamashumar, when Mashiach comes. So, what's going on? How can you have a feast and no eating at the same time? That caused a lot of the Mefarshim to say that the Su'uda is not actually real. Sorry. The Su'uda is just like a muscle. We understand food. Gashmis talks to us. So when we say that when we eat a good meal, we're able to learn better and to understand better. So we're talking in terms of food, but the food is just a muscle. That's how some people say it. Now don't be disappointed. We don't accept those opinions. In Chassidus it says that the Su'udah is a Su'udah Gashmis, a physical Su'udah. So how does that fit with what it says, Olam Haba Ein Bo Achilu Shtiya? So the simple explanation is that it's two tkufos. In the beginning there'll be a Su'udah, and only later on we won't have to eat. That's a simple way to explain it, that there's two separate eras of Yemos HaMashiach, Tchias HaMesim, and therefore there's no problem. However, in one of the Rebbe's letters, the Rebbe, in one of the famous footnotes of one of the famous letters about Chiyas HaMesim, which is printed in Igles Kodesh Chelek Beis, the Rebbe addresses this and gives a big chiddush. And he says, a lot of people don't understand what it means, Ein Bo Achilu Ushtia. Today, in Olam Hazeh, in the time of Golos, if a person wants to live, they have to eat. I know it's hard sometimes to eat. Essen, esnisht, schlafen, schlafnisht. But we all know that whether we like it or not, we have to eat in order to live. A person that won't eat will be social distance 6 feet under. So that's what happens. However, when Mashiach comes in the time of Tchias HaMesim, Ein Boy Achilu Shtia means we're not going to eat in order to live. That's no longer going to be our eating. The eating the way we eat, Bizman HaZeh, will not continue. There will be a Suda, but that's going to be to help us elevate in Yonim Ruchniyim. But it won't be Achilu Shtia for the same reason we eat and drink today. The way we understand eating and drinking, Bizman HaGolos, will disappear, will be finished. You will not need to eat in order to live. Adrabah, neshama nezenes min haguf. The guf will have eternal life. Chayim nitzchim. We are just going to be eating the suda for the elevation, yichudim ruchnim, that are going to be. So there's going to be a physical suda for spiritual purposes.